إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. Bi idhnillahi ta'ala, this evening we would like to discuss the matter of great importance that is in front of us tonight, with the beginning of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. The topic that we were originally supposed to discuss tonight was the obligatory adab, the obligatory etiquettes or manners of fasting. And unfortunately, this morning I realized that today was the 20th day of Ramadan, and that tonight will be the first of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. So it was important that we change the topic and talk about the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And inshallah, we're still bringing it from the same source, but you know, we're just changing the topic slightly. So tonight, because of the length of the material, and there being two topics actually that the Shaykh Al-Imam Muhammad Ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen talked about concerning this subject of the last 10 nights of Ramadan, because of the length of the material and there being two topics, inshallah, we're going to summarize some of it and skip over maybe some few points, so that we can cover both aspects that he covered in these two lectures. The first topic related to this is فضل العشر الأخيرة من رمضان, يعني the excellence or the virtue or the superiority of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And the Shaykh, after praising Allah and glorifying Him and mentioning some of the names of Allah and some of the sifat of Allah, and mentioning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the four khalifas radiallahu anhum ajma'een, bearing witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger, the Shaykh begins the topic by saying, إخواني لقد نزل بكم عشر رمضان الأخيرة فيها خيرات والأجور كثيرة الكثيرة وفيها الفضائل المشهورة والخصائص المذكورة. The Shaykh begins by saying, indeed, the last or final 10 days of Ramadan have arrived. And in these final 10 days of Ramadan are khayrat, so many good things. Wal ujur al kathira, and so many rewards. Wa fiha al fada'il al mashhura, and they are well-known virtues of these last 10 days that are well-known to the people, to all of us. And khasa'is al-madhkura. And as well, there are certain exclusive matters that are exclusive to the last 10 nights of Ramadan, that are particular and exclusive and particular, yani, to these days, to the exclusion of other days or other nights. So from amongst those things that are particular to these last 10 days or last 10 nights of Ramadan is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make a greater effort in doing acts of worship during these last 10 nights more than any other time besides them. It's reported in the Sahih of Muslim from Aisha radiallahu anha that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kana yajtahidu fil ashri al-awakhiri ma la yajtahidu fi ghayrihi. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make ijtihad, and he used to make a greater effort in striving in the worship of Allah and obedience to Allah in the last 10 nights of Ramadan in a manner or in a way that he never did or that he didn't do in any other time outside of these nights. And similarly, it's reported in the Sahihain, in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, also from Aisha radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever the last 10 days of nights of Ramadan came, شَدَّ مِئْزَرَهُ وَأَحْيَى لَيْلَهُ وَأَيْقَضَ أَهْلَهُ, that he used to tighten up his waist garment, yani his izar, and he used to stay awake during the entire night, and he used to wake up his family. And in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, also from Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kana yakhlitu al-ishrina bis-salatin wa nawmin fa idha kana al-ashra shammara wa shadda mi'zara. That whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during the first 20 days of Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to mix the night between salat and sleep, meaning he used to sleep some of the night and he used to pray some of the night. But in the last 10 nights, he used to roll up his sleeves and he used to tighten his izar, his lower garment. Meaning, he used to prepare himself for serious worship, more serious than in any other time. And the meaning of him, of tightening his izar, his lower garment, as the Shaykh will explain, just so that we don't leave it open like this too long, most of the scholars said it means that he would stay away from having marital relations with his wives. The Shaykh says, after mentioning these narrations, in these hadith on indication of the excellence, the superiority, and the virtue of these 10 nights. And that is, number one, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to strive in these nights in the worship and obedience to Allah more than in any other time. And this striving includes all types of worship, including salat, including recitation of the Quran, including dhikr, remembrance, praise and glorification of Allah, including a sadaqah, a charity, and other acts of worship besides this. And likewise, also showing the excellence of these 10 nights of Ramadan, what shows that from these hadith is that the Prophet ﷺ used to tighten his lower garment. يعني, meaning, يَعْتَزِلُ نِسَاءَهُ, that he used to stay away from his wives in order to free himself up for salat and for dhikr. And likewise, also from that which indicates the excellence of these 10, final 10 nights of Ramadan, is that the Prophet ﷺ used to spend the whole night standing in prayer, reciting the Quran, and performing dhikr, remembrance of Allah, with the heart and with the tongue and with the limbs of the body. And this is due to the great honor, the honorable status of these knights. And also because he was seeking, yani, to find Laylatul Qadr. The night of Qadr, in which whoever stands in it, yani worshipping Allah with iman and ihtisab, then Allah will forgive them all of their previous sins. Yani this night in which the person who spends that night in the worship of Allah, especially in standing in prayer, but not exclusively making salah, but also in dhikr and dua and recitation of the Quran and any act of worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever does so with iman and with ihtisab, yani believing in Allah and believing in the promise of Allah and believing that Allah is the one who has legislated these acts of worship, and having ihtisab, expectation and anticipation and hope of Allah's promised reward, whoever does so, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive their previous sins. The apparent meaning of this hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to spend the whole night in the worship of his Lord, whether in dhikr or in recitation of the Quran or in salat or in preparation for these acts of worship, and also the suhoor, yani taking some meal in the early morning hours before the break of dawn. That the Prophet ﷺ was busied the whole night in these things. Yani either he was praying, or he's reciting Quran, or he's making dhikr or dua, or he was preparing the food that he's going to take before the break of dawn. But he spent the whole night in those things that are exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani he didn't spend his night in other things, in the things that people spend their night with. Whether it's watching television, watching movies, listening to the radio, reading comic books, or whatever it is that people do. He spent his night exclusively in the things that are for the pleasure of Allah. This is the apparent meaning of this hadith. And understanding it in this way, that he used to do various types of worship, in this way we can reconcile between these hadith and that which has been reported in the Sahih of Muslim from Aisha radiallahu anha, when she said, "I don't know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever stood in prayer for the whole night until morning." Yani, I don't know that that ever happened, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent the whole night in prayer until morning. But rather, the understanding here is, she's saying, as the Shaykh says, I should just read what he says, because spending the night, staying awake during the night is confirmed and established in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. That is, standing in prayer and in other types of worship. But what has been negated by Aisha radiallahu anha is him spending the whole night standing in prayer alone. Meaning, she's saying, I don't know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever stood for the whole night until morning just standing in prayer. But rather, in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, he used to spend the whole night in worship, but not just in standing in prayer, but rather he would stand in prayer and he would also just recite Quran or make dhikr or dua or do other acts of worship. So also from that which indicates the excellence, the virtue and the superiority of these last 10 nights of Ramadan is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to awaken his family in those nights. He didn't allow them to sleep, rather he used to wake up his family for the purpose of salat and dhikr, due to his eagerness to take advantage of the opportunity that presents itself in these blessed nights by engaging in acts of worship that are befitting of these nights, these special nights in Ramadan. Indeed, these nights are an opportunity of a lifetime. A ghanima. Yani, a ghanima is like what you get from the spoils of war. Yani, whatever the property and belongings of the people, you take all of that free. These nights are a free opportunity to get great benefits and great rewards for whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives success to in doing so. Meaning, that whoever is able to engage themselves and to busy themselves with the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these nights, This is something that's the tawfiq from Allah. Allah is the one who gives people success in doing this. And Allah doesn't give that success to everyone. But if a person has sincere intention, and they strive and make an attempt to worship Allah, then inshallah Allah will give them that success. So it is not befitting for the mu'min, al-mu'min al-aqil, yani the intelligent, sane believer, to allow this precious opportunity to get past him and his family. Rather, every person should take advantage of it, and they should make sure that their family also takes advantage of it. فَمَا هِيَ إِلَّا اللَّيَالٍ مَعَدُودَ There are only a few numbered nights. Meaning, they are few in number. How many nights? 10 nights or 9 nights. Out of the whole year. How can a person not take advantage of this? Perhaps a person might reach during these nights some of the gifts or the presents that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for His servants. And through this they will achieve happiness or success in this world and in the hereafter. Meaning the opportunity that a person finds in these last final 10 nights of Ramadan might be the means through which a person would achieve happiness in this world and in the hereafter. And in the reward that a person can achieve. Indeed, it is a tremendous deprivation and a disastrous loss for whoever is seen, and there are many people from amongst the Muslims who we see wasting the precious time of these last 10 nights in that which is of no benefit. They spend most of their nights in al-lahu, al-batil, in false matters of entertainment or amusement. So when the time comes for qiyam, to stand in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after they have spent their night in this foolishness, then they sleep. And they lose for themselves so much good. Perhaps they will never find this opportunity again. And maybe a person won't live till next year. Walaykum as-salam. And this is from the games of shaitan and his plots and his plans that he uses to turn people away from the way of Allah and to mislead them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hijr 15, Surah 42nd ayat, إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانٌ إِلَّا مَنْ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ That verily indeed, Allah says that my servants, saying to shaitan, you have no authority over them, except those who follow you, those who are in error, and who are astray. So the sane, intelligent person does not take shaitan as a guardian, as a friend, as a protector, instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they know the enmity and hatred that is between the human beings and shaitan. Indeed, to do so, to take shaitan as your wali, to do so negates al-aql wal-iman. Yani it is a negation of one's intellect and a negation of true faith, true iman. Yani that a person knows that shaitan is the enemy and then nonetheless they still take him as their wali. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in Surah Al-Kahf, 18th Surah, 50th Ayat, أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِي وَهُمْ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ بِئْسَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ بَدَلًا Yani, do they, the human beings, do they take him, that is Shaytan, and the offspring of Shaytan as their guardians and protectors, as their awliya, instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? While they, shaitan, and his people are your enemies. Evil, indeed, is this as an exchange for the zalimeen, yani those who wrong their own selves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا إِنَّمَا يَدْعُوا حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونَ مِنَ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ That indeed, shaitan is for you an enemy. So take him as an enemy. يعني treat him as your enemy. Indeed, he only calls his حزب, يعني his group, his followers, he only calls them to be from amongst the companions of the blazing fire. From amongst the particular characteristics that are exclusive to these last 10 nights is that the Prophet ﷺ used to make i'tikaf in these nights, especially i'tikaf, that is seclusion in the masjid, secluding oneself from people and secluding oneself from one's family, from one's work, from one's worldly affairs for the purpose of worshipping Allah alone. The Prophet ﷺ used to make i'tikaf in these last 10 nights. And i'tikaf is that a person sticks to the masjid, stays in the masjid, and they free themselves up for acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from the sunnahs that have been established in the book of Allah and in the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 187 ayah, and the ayah is related to fasting, وَلَا تُبَاشِرُوهُنَّ وَأَنْتُمْ عَاقِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. And do not have contact, yani with your wives, meaning sexual relations, marital relations with your wives, while you are in i'tikaf in the masjids. Yani when a person is in i'tikaf, then it's not permissible for that person to have relations with their spouse. And the Prophet, and the Shaykh mentions a number of hadith here, and we'll just try to mention some of them quickly. A lot of hadith about i'tikaf, and i'tikaf indeed is something of great importance. As the brother mentioned in the khutbah today, it is a sunnah that has been lost. And as you go from masjid to masjid, you will find very few people performing this worship called i'tikaf. He said, indeed, the Prophet ﷺ performed i'tikaf, and his companions, radiallahu anhum, also performed it with him and after him, yani while he was living and after his death. And it's reported from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu that the Prophet ﷺ performed i'tikaf in the first 10 days of Ramadan, and then he performed i'tikaf in the middle 10 days of Ramadan. And then after that, he said, إني اعتقف العشر الأول التمس هذه الليلة, that I have made i'tikaf in the first 10 days seeking this night, meaning the Laylatul Qadr. ثم أعتقف العشر الأوسط, and then I made i'tikaf in the middle 10 nights, the second 10 nights, yani for the same purpose, seeking out Laylatul Qadr, hoping to worship Allah in this Laylatul Qadr. ثم أتيت فقيل لي, then someone came to me and it was said to me, yani Allah sent an angel to inform the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِنَّهَا فِي الْعَشْرِ الْأَوَاخِرِ, that it is in the last 10 nights. فَمَنْ أَحَبَّ مِنْكُمْ أَيَّعْتَقِفْ فَلْيَعْتَقِفْ. So whoever wants to make i'tikaf, then do it. Yani in these last 10 nights. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on that occasion, he was looking for Laylatul Qadr in the first 10 nights. When he didn't find it, he made i'tikaf for the second 10 nights. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him that it's in the final 10 nights. And also in the two books of Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim from Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make i'tikaf in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and he did so until Allah took his soul. And then his wives, after his passing, they used to make i'tikaf in these last 10 nights of Ramadan. And in the Sahih al-Bukhari from her, that is Aisha radiallahu anha, that she also said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make i'tikaf every Ramadan for 10 days, yani of Ramadan. So when the year came in which Allah took his soul, the year in which he died, he made i'tikaf for 20 days. And from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased, when he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made i'tikaf in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, so one year he didn't make i'tikaf. So when the following year came, that is the year in which he died, he made i'tikaf for 20 days. Reported by Imam Ahmad al-Tirmidhi, and he said that it is sahih. And the last hadith that we want to mention concerning this, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he wanted to make i'tikaf, after he prayed the Fajr prayer, he would enter his place of i'tikaf, yani the place that he was going to stay in seclusion in. in the masjid, his place in the masjid that he was going to perform i'tikaf there. After the Fajr prayer, he would enter his place. So that time, the Prophet ﷺ did so, and Aisha radiallahu anhu said, I asked permission, yani to do so likewise. And the Prophet ﷺ gave her permission, so a tent was set up for her, and she began to perform i'tikaf. And then Hafsa, another wife of the Prophet ﷺ radiallahu anha, she asked permission from Aisha to ask the Prophet ﷺ for her. And she asked, and he gave permission, so she set up a tent also to make i'tikaf. And finally Zainab, another wife of the Prophet radiallahu anha, she saw them setting up tents, so she asked someone to set up a tent for her, and a tent was set up. And when the Prophet ﷺ saw all of these tents, he said, Mahada, what is this? What is this? He was not pleased with it. So when they told him, these are tents that have been set up for Aisha and Hafsa and Zainab, radiallahu anhum, radiallahu anhunna, may Allah be pleased with all of them, the Prophet ﷺ said, is it al-birr? Yani, is it righteousness that you are seeking by this? Yani, you're doing this for, yani, as something to really earn the pleasure of Allah? He said, he didn't think so. He said, انزعوها فلا أراها. Take it down, I don't want to see it. So those tents were taken down. And the Prophet ﷺ himself abandoned his i'tikaf in Ramadan that time until it was the first 10 days of the month of Shawwal. And he made i'tikaf in Shawwal. And this hadith is reported in Bukhari and Muslim in different narrations. And Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal radiallahu anhu, rahimahullah, he said that I don't know of anyone of the scholars who holds any different opinion than that al-i'tikaf is from the sunnah. Performing i'tikaf is from the sunnah. What is intended by al-i'tikaf is cutting oneself off from the people in order to make yourself free for obedience to Allah in one of the masjids, seeking the virtue or the reward of this act of worship, and yani seeking Laylatul Qadr, meaning seeking to be in a position or in a condition where a person will get the reward of worshipping Allah in Laylatul Qadr by secluding themselves from the people and not being occupied with worldly affairs. And for this reason, it is incumbent upon the person who is making i'tikaf that they busy themselves with al-dhikr, remembrance of Allah, and al-qira'ah, recitation of the Qur'an, and al-salat, and other acts of worship, and that they avoid that which does not concern them of speech of worldly affairs or worldly matters. And there's no harm in talking a little bit about those things that are permissible with one's family or with others, if there's some benefit in doing so. Otherwise, the person should try to avoid as much as possible the contact, social interaction with the people, or conversation other than that which is part of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is based on the hadith of Safiya, Ummul Mu'mineen, one of the mothers of the believers, radiallahu anha, one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in i'tikaf, and I came to him while he was in i'tikaf in the masjid to visit him one night, and I was talking to him. And then when the conversation was finished, I got up to go away, that is to return to my house, and the Prophet ﷺ got up with me, yani, to escort her to her house. And this is a proof that it's permissible for a person to have some conversation with their family or with others, as long as it is limited. And this hadith is reported in Bukhari and Muslim. So it is prohibited for the person in i'tikaf to have marital relations, sexual relations, and those things that lead up to it, whether kissing or touching or anything else that is from the sexual desires. And this is because of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we mentioned previously, وَلَا تُبَاشِرُهُنَّ وَأَنْتُمْ عَاقِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. Yani, don't have relations, don't yani be in contact with the spouse while a person is in i'tikaf in the masjid. As far as going outside of the masjid, the part of the body, yani a part of the body going outside of the masjid is permissible, otherwise a person should not leave the masjid while they're in i'tikaf, except in certain special cases, and Sheikh talks about it a little bit. And those are legal matters that is not of great concern to us at this moment, but we'll pass over them quickly, inshallah. And as far as part of the body being outside of the masjid, the permissibility of this, is from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. She said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kana yukhriju ra'sahu min al-masjid wa huwa mu'taqifun fa'aghsiluhu wa ana ha'id. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while he was in i'tikaf, in seclusion in the masjid, he used to stick his head outside of the masjid, and in some of the narrations it becomes clear that it was into her room that was connected to the masjid. He used to stick his head outside of the masjid into her room, and I used to wash his hair while I was ha'id, yani in menses. In this hadith reported in Bukhari, in some of the narrations it makes it clear that she also used to comb the head of the Prophet ﷺ while she was in her menses, and he was in i'tikaf in the masjid, and she was in her room that was connected to the masjid, and he used to put his head into her room, yani out of the masjid into her room, for her to wash his hair or to comb his hair. Then the Shaykh talks about yani leaving the masjid completely, and there are three cases of this, and I'll summarize it. In one case, the person goes out of the masjid for a matter that is of necessity, whether it's a legal matter or a natural matter. And that means yani that the person goes out to answer the call of nature, to urinate or defecate, or to make an obligatory wudu, an obligatory ghusl, or the ghusl of janaba, or other things like this, or for eating and drinking. Then this is permissible if they are not able to do these things in the masjid. Meaning there's no bathroom in the masjid, there's no place to find food in the masjid, and there's nobody to bring food to that person, and they're compelled to go out to eat or to drink or to use the bathroom, then this is permissible. Otherwise, they should not go out of the masjid. The second case is the person who goes out of the masjid for some act of obedience, yani some act of worship, like visiting a sick person, or following the funeral procession, or something like this. One should not do so unless they have made a condition, a shart. Yani ishtarata. From the beginning, before they entered i'tikaf, they made a condition that I will go into i'tikaf, but I will come out for this particular reason. Yani to go out to follow a funeral procession, or to visit a person, as the Shaykh said, who is critically ill, and they expect or they fear that the person might die. So they made a condition that while they're in i'tikaf, that person who is very sick and they're concerned about that person, they might go out to visit them. In this case, he said that there's no harm in doing so. For this kind of matter, for an act of obedience, an act of worship, that they have already made a precondition before they entered i'tikaf. And the third condition is that the person goes out of the masjid for a matter that contradicts the condition of i'tikaf. Like the person goes out for buying or selling, or having marital relations with their spouse, or something like this, then this should not be done, even if they have made a condition or they have not made any condition. Because this either nullifies the i'tikaf, or it decreases its perfection, or negates it. Naam. And finally, the Shaykh says, from the particular, exclusive matters of these last 10 nights, that are particular to these last 10 nights, is that they contain Laylatul Qadr, the night in which there is khair, good, that is better than 1,000 months. So the Shaykh says, so know, may Allah have mercy upon you, that these 10 nights have an excellence and a superiority, so do not waste it. Do not let this valuable opportunity escape you. And its khair, the khair of these last 10 nights is zahirun, is apparent, mubeen, clear. And there is no doubt that these nights, in general, the 10 of them, contain a lot of good and a tremendous benefit, and no one should allow that opportunity to escape them. The second topic that the Shaykh mentions concerning this, and we are combining them together, is because they are related to one another and we are in need of them now and not later, is al-ijtihad fil ashr al-awakhir wa laylatul qadr. Yani striving in the last 10 nights, and especially, particularly, seeking laylatul qadr. When I say laylatul qadr, and I guess we can leave it at that, and the Shaykh does give some interpretation of what Laylatul Qadr, what does this actually mean. And the people have translated Laylatul Qadr in various ways, so we will just leave it as Laylatul Qadr and take what the Shaykh gives as an explanation of it. The Shaykh begins by praising Allah and glorifying Him and mentioning His names and characteristics and bearing witness that nothing deserves we worship except Allah and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. And then he begins by saying, Ikhwati or Ikhwani, O my brothers, in these blessed 10 nights is a night, one night, Laylatul Qadr. التي شرفها الله على غيرها. That Allah is honored above other nights. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. And in these last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, there is a night, Laylatul Qadr, which Allah has honored and raised its status above all other nights of the whole year. وَمَنَّ عَلَى هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ بِجَزِيلْ فَضْلِهِ وَخَيْرِهَا فَضْلِهَا وَخَيْرِهَا. And He has also given from His bounty and His favor, He has given His favor to this ummah, yani, and that is that He has given plenty of virtue and excellence and a lot of khair to this ummah through this night, Laylatul Qadr. And He has pointed to the excellence of this night in His clear book and the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Dukhan, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ إِنَّا كُنَّا مُنذِرِينَ. That indeed we have sent it down, that is, we have revealed the Qur'an in a blessed night, Laylatul Mubarakah. إِنَّا كُنَّا مُنذِرِينَ. Indeed, we are sending those who warn, we are warning the people. Yani Allah is sending a warning through the Qur'an. That's one of the purposes of the Qur'an, that He warned the people who disobey Him and who disbelieve of His punishment. فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ. Yani in this night, every pre-decreed ordained matter is separated, yani is brought forth from the Lawh al-Mahfuz in this night of what is going to happen in the coming year. أَمْرًا مِنْ عِنْدِنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا مُرْسِلِينَ. That this is a matter that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who says, Inna kunna mursaleen, that we are sending, yani, messengers to the people, yani, to warn them and to call them and to invite them. Rahmatan min rabbika, innahu huwa as-sami'ul 'aleem. And this is a mercy from your Lord. Indeed, He is the one who is all hearing and all knowing. Rabb as-samawati wal ardi wa ma baynahuma in kuntum muqineen. He is the Lord of the heavens and the earth and what is between them, if indeed you are of those who believe with certainty, with yaqeen. La ilaha illa huwa yuhyi wa yumit rabbukum wa rabbu abaikum al-awwaleen. He is the one that deserves to be worshipped. There is nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Him, the one who gives life and who causes death. He is your Lord and He is the Lord of your forefathers, the first of them, yani your ancestors. And this is in Surah Al-Dukhan, ayat 3 through 8. So this is the first mention of yani Laylatul Qadr with the description. It is described as what? Laylatin Mubarakatin. Yani is a night that contains barakah. The Shaykh says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described this night with the description that it has an abundance of blessings and an abundance of good and excellence. So from its barakah, from the blessings that are contained in this night, is Al-Qur'an Al-Mubarak, unzila fiha, yani that the blessed Qur'an was revealed in this night. Yani from the barakah of this night is that the Qur'an was revealed in this night. The Qur'an, the whole of the Qur'an was revealed in Laylatul Qadr. Yani from Allah al-Mahfuz, from above the seven heavens to the lowest heaven of this world, and then over a period of 23 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused certain parts of the Qur'an to be revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam according to need and based on the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the whole of the Qur'an is revealed first at one time, and that was in Laylatul Qadr. So the Shaykh says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described this night as containing much blessings and good and khair and excellence. And from its blessings is that this blessed Qur'an was revealed in this night. And He has described this night, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described this night, يفرق فيها كل أمر حكيم. That means that يفصل من اللوح المحفوظ إلى الكتبة ما هو كائن من أمر الله سبحانه في تلك السنة من الأرزاق والآجال والخير والشر وغير ذلك من كل أمر حكيم من أوامر الله المحكمة المتقنة التي ليس فيها خلل ولا نقص ولا سفة ولا باطل وذلك التقدير العزيز العليم. That and the meaning of this ayat in Surah Dukhan is that the everything that is going to happen by the command of Allah in that year, the coming year, from the provisions of the people and their lifespans and good and evil and other than that, every matter that Allah has decreed will be separated from the Lawh al-Mahfuz and it will be given to the Kataba, yani the Malaika who record the deeds of the human beings. It will be taken from the Lawh al-Mahfuz and it will be given to the angels. And this is the meaning of يُفْرَقُ فِيهَا كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ, that every matter that Allah has decreed, yani will be brought forth at that time, meaning for that year, all the matters related to the human beings, what will take place in that year. And this is yani from the commands, the wise commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the perfect commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that do not contain any fault or any defect or any yani anything that is foolish or anything that is false. And this is the decree of Al-Aziz, Al-Alim, the Mighty, the All-Knowing. And Allah says in another surah that's more well-known to the people, another description of this night, Laylatul Qadr, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Qadr, in verses 1 through 5, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ, that indeed we have sent it down, meaning the Qur'an, in the Laylatul Qadr, the night of Qadr. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ, and what will make you to know, yani what is it that could, what, how could you possibly know what is the greatness and the magnitude of this Laylatul Qadr? Laylatul Qadr خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ, that this Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 months. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ, the angels and the ruh, that is the angel Jibril, and the other angels descend in this night by the permission of their Lord for every affair. Salamun hiya hatta matla' al-fajr, and it is peace, safety and security until the break of dawn. Meaning the whole of that night, Laylatul Qadr, will be peace and safety and security for the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the break of dawn. The Shaykh says, okay, what is the meaning of al-Qadr? Yani Laylatul Qadr, this expression, Laylatul Qadr, what do you mean by Qadr? القدر بمعنى الشرف والتعظيم أو بمعنى التقدير والقضاء, that القدر means honor and exaltation or glorification, يعني a night of honor and a night of exaltation and glorification, and a night of high status, or it means a night of تقدير, when Allah would decree certain matters, and القضاء, when Allah would execute, يعني the things that Allah would decree and the things that Allah would execute or cause to occur. And this is the meaning, the reason why this expression is used with these, both of these two meanings, is because Laylatul Qadr is an honorable night, a night that is exalted and has a high status, and it is a night in which Allah has decreed or fixed or pre-decreed for the year to come what He will cause to occur from the wise affairs that He has decreed. Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 months. This means that its excellence and its superiority and its virtue and its status and its honor, and that it is a time of great reward and recompense for the people, and that is for whoever stands in this night with iman and ihtisab, then they would have their previous sins forgiven. So the meaning of al-Qadr and Laylatul Qadr, it means the night of honor, of great honor. It has a great status, and it is a night in which Allah decrees and causes His decrees to be executed. The meaning of the ayat, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا, means the angels descend, and the ruh, that is Jibril, descend, the angels who are the servants, who are servants from amongst the servants of Allah, who are constantly in the worship of Allah night and day. those angels descend in this night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another place in Surah Al-Anbiya, 21st Surah, 19th and 20th ayat, لَا يَسْتَقْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِهِ. Yani that these angels, they are not too proud to worship Him. They are not so proud that they refuse to worship Him. وَلَا يَسْتَحْسِرُونَ. And they do not become weary or tired of worshipping Him. Rather, يُصَبِّحُونَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ لَيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ لَا يَفْتُرُونَ. That they praise and glorify Allah and declare His perfection night and day. And they never slow down or slack in doing so. These are the angels that descend in Laylatul Qadr. They descend in Laylatul Qadr to the earth with good, al-khayr, goodness, and al-barakah, blessings, and al-rahmah, mercy. And the ruh mentioned in this ayat is Jibreel alayhi salam, and he has been mentioned specifically due to his rank or status or the honor that he has above the other angels and his excellence and superiority over other angels. Salamun hiya, and it is peace and safety and security. This means that Laylatul Qadr is a night in which the people will find peace and safety, the believers will find peace and safety and security from every fear. And this is due to the large number of people who would be freed from the fire. Yani that Allah would decree that they'd be freed from the fire during this night due to the worship that they do. And people would be saved from the punishment of Allah in the hellfire. Hatta matla' al-fajr. And this, yani peace and safety and security, is yani lasting until the break of dawn. This means that Laylatul Qadr ends with the breaking of dawn. And this is due to the fact that the deeds that are accepted during Laylatul Qadr, during that night, end at the break of dawn. And in this surah, this noble surah, there are a number of virtues for Laylatul Qadr. And the Shaykh lists 6 specific items, yani that show the superiority of Laylatul Qadr from this surah alone. The surah has 5 ayats, and the Shaykh mentions 6 excellences that come from this surah. The first of them is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the Qur'an in this Laylatul Qadr, in this night, as a guidance for humanity and as a means to happiness and success in this world and the next life. The second of them is that which is indicated by the question, yani the uslub of istifham, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ قَدْرِ. Yani, what will make you know what is Laylatul Qadr? This type of expression in the Arabic language shows the greatness and the loftiness of something. Yani, when you say, and how could you possibly know? Meaning it's beyond the ability of the people to really know the greatness and the magnitude of Laylatul Qadr. And the third, when he says that in this night, أَنَّهَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَعْرٍ, that in this night, there's good that's greater than 1,000 months of goodness. And the fourth one he said is that the angels descend in this night and they do not descend except with khair, goodness, and barakah, blessings, and rahmah. Yani that the angels descend in Laylatul Qadr and they don't come with anything except goodness and blessings and mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that people should look forward to. And the fifth thing he said, the fifth excellence that's mentioned in the surah is that there's peace and safety and security, yani during this night, due to the many people that will be saved from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a result of the acts of obedience that they do to Allah subhanahu, they do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this night. Yani due to the prayers and the dhikr and dua and reciting the Quran or charity that they give, or whatever the people are doing during Laylatul Qadr, those acts of obedience, the reward for them are multiplied, and due to that, many, many people are saved from the hellfire during this night. And the last thing that the Shaykh says, number 6, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the excellence, concerning the excellence of this surah, He has revealed a whole surah. Concerning the excellence of this night, He has revealed a whole complete surah, which will be recited until Yawmul Qiyamah. These are things that can be understood directly from the surah, Suratul Qadr. So if a person recites that surah and they reflect on each ayat, then they will see every one of these ayats are showing the excellence and the virtue of this one night in the year that inshallah is during the coming nights that are in front of us. Meaning, tonight being the first night of the last 10 nights of Ramadan, then inshallah it is in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. It could be tonight or tomorrow night or the next night. It will be one of these nights that remain until the end of this month. And this surah, a person should recite it again and again and again and reflect on its meaning to remind them of the greatness of this night and the importance of it and the magnitude of it and the, our need for doing whatever is possible that we have within our ability, the best of our ability, everyone striving and asking Allah's help, that they are able to do something of good which will earn them some of the great reward that will come in this Laylatul Qadr, which is coming during these nights that are in front of us. Also from the excellence of Laylatul Qadr is what has been confirmed in the two Sahihs, the Sahih of Bukhari and the Sahih of Muslim, the Hadith of Abu Hurairah that the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ قَامَ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ إِمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. That whoever stands in the night, during the Laylatul Qadr, in that night whoever stands in prayer with iman, yani faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ihtisab, expectation and anticipation and hope of the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever stands praying with iman and ihtisab, with those two conditions, meaning that they are praying, having believing in Allah, and believing that Allah has legislated the standing in this night, and believing in the reward that Allah has promised for standing in this night, and hoping for that reward, and expecting it, and anticipating it, and looking forward to it. Whoever prays in this way, during Laylatul Qadr, if they actually perform prayers in that night, which is Laylatul Qadr, and we don't know which night it is, but we know that it's one of these nights, so if a person stands in all of these nights, then they would definitely reach this reward, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, if they have sincere intention for Allah, with iman and ihtisab, then their previous sins will be forgiven. As far as the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, iman and wahtisaban, with iman, yani faith and anticipation of the reward of Allah, this means believing in Allah and believing in what Allah has prepared, the reward that He has prepared for those who stand in this night. And ihtisab, meaning hoping or anticipating the reward and seeking that reward, yani doing it with hope and expectation, anticipation, and desiring the reward for doing it. And this reward will be given to those who know about Laylatul Qadr, or who know when it is, if they happen to come to know from some of its signs, and those who don't know. And it doesn't matter if a person knows about Laylatul Qadr or doesn't know. If a person worships Allah, and he performs prayer and dhikr and dua and worshipping Allah in Laylatul Qadr, with iman and ihtisab, then they will get this reward, whether they know about Laylatul Qadr or not. And this is because the Prophet ﷺ didn't make as a condition that the person has to have knowledge of Laylatul Qadr in order to achieve this reward. Rather, every person who worships Allah in that night, they will get their reward. When is Laylatul Qadr? The Shaykh has a somewhat lengthy discussion, and we don't want to go through the whole discussion, but summarizing some of it as much as possible. This is an issue that recently I was in a masjid, and two young men, and I say young men because they were really young men, and you know, Allah knows best what was their condition, and I'll leave it with that, argued with me for 15 or 20 minutes that they know when is Laylatul Qadr. Just recently. And I kept trying to tell them, yani foolishly, me being foolish, to even waste my time arguing with them, that you don't know when is Laylatul Qadr. But they insisted that they know, and they told me they read it in a book, and they read it in the Tafsir Ibn Kathir, and it's a fact that they know when it is. And I told them to bring it to me, and if you can't find it right now, call me, please, and whenever you find it, you know, let me know where you read it at so I can read it too. And then we'll go back and read the Arabic and see if it really says that. But I never heard from them. Until now. And now we're in need to get that knowledge that they have. We want to know when is Laylatul Qadr, right? We're really in need now, but they are not around. They are not to be seen. So when is Laylatul Qadr? The Shaykh says Laylatul Qadr is in Ramadan. That's a fact. No dispute. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Qur'an in Laylatul Qadr. And He has informed us that He revealed it, yani the Qur'an, in Ramadan. Allah revealed the Qur'an in Laylatul Qadr. And Allah informed us that He revealed the Qur'an in Ramadan. So that means Laylatul Qadr has to be in Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, in Surah Al-Qadr, إِنَّا أَنْزَلْنَاهُ فِي Laylatul Qadr. We have sent it down, we have revealed it in Laylatul Qadr. And in another place Allah says, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. That the month of Ramadan in which the Qur'an was revealed. So in one place He says, that he revealed the Quran in Laylatul Qadr. And another place he says that the Quran was revealed in Ramadan. So Laylatul Qadr has to be in Ramadan. That there's no dispute about. In this way, we become certain that Laylatul Qadr is in the month of Ramadan. And it is present amongst all the nations and in this nation, in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until Yawm al-Qiyamah. And this is based on what is reported by Imam Ahmed in his Musnad and An-Nasa'i in his Sunan from Abi Dharr radiallahu anhu. May Allah be pleased when he said, O Messenger of Allah, أخبرني عن ليلة القدر أهي في رمضان أم في غيره يعني في غيره. O Messenger of Allah, tell me about ليلة القدر, يعني tell me something about it. I want to know, when is it? Is it in Ramadan or is it in other than Ramadan? And the Prophet ﷺ said, بل هي في رمضان, rather indeed, يعني ليلة القدر is in Ramadan. And then Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he said, will it be with the Prophets, يعني Laylatul Qadr will exist and will take place, will occur with the Prophets as long as they are living, and then when their soul is taken, it will be raised up? Or will Laylatul Qadr continue to occur until Yawm al-Qiyamah? And the Prophet ﷺ said, بَلْ هِيَ إِلَىٰ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, يعني that Laylatul Qadr will continue to occur. يعني this opportunity for getting these great blessings will continue to occur every year in one night. That is Laylatul Qadr, which is in the month of Ramadan. It will continue to occur until Yawm al-Qiyamah. And this hadith is also reported by Al-Hakim, who said that it is sahih according to the conditions of Imam Muslim, though neither Imam Muslim or Bukhari narrated, and Al-Imam al-Dhahabi also agreed with Al-Hakim that the hadith is sahih. Okay, so we know that it is in the month of Ramadan. The Shaykh says that even though the Laylatul Qadr will continue to occur, and it will occur amongst all the nations of the earth, not just the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, however, the excellence and the virtue and the reward that one would achieve for Laylatul Qadr is particular, and Allah knows best, to this Ummah. The Shaykh says, and Allah knows best. But that's his view, that the reward for Laylatul Qadr is only for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the same way that other virtuous things like Yawm al-Jumu'ah has been made exclusive, yani the virtues of Yawm al-Jumu'ah have been made exclusive for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise other virtuous acts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given particularly to the Muslims. The Shaykh says number two, I mean he doesn't say number two, but he says, goes on to say, and this is the second point, that Laylatul Qadr is in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Okay, that's our second point. The Laylatul Qadr is in Ramadan. Number two, it's in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. This is based on the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, تحروا Laylatul Qadr في العشر الأواخر من رمضان. Seek out Laylatul Qadr in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Muttafaqun alayh. There's no doubt about that. Number three, third point. وَهِيَ فِي الْأَوْتَرْ أَقْرَبْ مِنَ الْأَشْفَاعِ. And that it is in the odd nights. It's more likely that it's in the odd nights than in the even nights. And the Shaykh says, أَقْرَبْ. أَقْرَبْ meaning that what is nearer to being correct. And he says, nearer, meaning that it's not absolutely so, but it is closer to being correct that the Laylatul Qadr will be in the odd nights as opposed to the even nights. So what do we understand from that? That it's possible it could be in the even nights. The Shaykh says, concerning this, based on the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, تَحَرَّوْ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ فِي الْوِتْرِ مِنَ الْعَشْرِ الْأَوَاخِرِ مِنْ رَمَضَانِ رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِ. Seek out Laylatul Qadr in the odd of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. That's why he says nearer, more likely, that it will be in the odd nights. Because the Prophet ﷺ says, seek for it, search for it, if you're looking for it. And the best time to look for it is in the odd nights. But still we have to come back to the point, is it possible it can be in the even nights? وَهِيَ فِي السَّبْعَ الْأَوَاخِرِ أَقْرَبْ. And it is more likely or nearer to being so that it's in the last 7 nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. That it's more likely that if you are really stuck to look for it, the best, most likely time is in the last 7 nights. And this is based on the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, and رِجَالًا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أُورُوا لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ فِي الْمَنَامِ فِي السَّبْعِ الْأَوَاخِرِ. That there were some men from amongst the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم who were shown in their sleep, in a dream. Yani they were made to see in a dream that Laylatul Qadr was in the last 10 nights. I mean, last 7 nights of Ramadan. And the Prophet ﷺ said to them, I see that all of you have seen, yani what you have seen is in agreement. Yani ittafaq, or tawata'at. Yani the what each of you have seen in the dream that is in the last 7 nights, it's by agreement. Yani you all have seen the same thing. So, فَمَنْ كَانَ مُتَحَرِّيهَا فَلْيَتَحَرَّهَا فِي السَّبَعَ الْأَوَاخِرِ. So whoever is going to eagerly seek out Laylatul Qadr, then seek it out in the last 7 nights. This hadith is muttafaqun alayh, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Last 7 nights. And Muslim has a narration that the Prophet ﷺ said, إِلْتَمِسُوهَا فِي الْعَشْرَ الْأَوَاخِرِ يعني Laylatul Qadr. Search for Laylatul Qadr in the last 10 nights. فَعَنْ دَعُفَ أَحَدُكُمْ أَوْ عَجَزَ فَلَا يُغْلَبَنَّ عَلَى سَبَى الْبَوَاقِي. Seek it in the last 10 nights. But if any one of you becomes weak, and he doesn't have enough energy to do it for 10 nights, or he's unable, عَجَزَ, just it's too difficult, 10 whole nights, I can't do it, then don't allow the last 7 nights. Yani when there are 7 nights remaining, don't let those nights overcome you. Meaning, go all the way out with that. If you can't do it for all 10, at least the last 7. When there are 7 nights remaining, go all the way with it and try to achieve, try to reach, try to find yourself worshipping Allah in those last 7 nights. وَأَقْرَبُ أَوْتَارَ السَّبَعَ الْأَوَاخِرِ لَيْلَةُ سَبَعٍ وَإِشْرِينَ. And the Shaykh says here, fifth point, he doesn't say fifth point, I'm saying fifth point. He says here, this is the fifth thing that he mentions, that from the last 7 nights, what is closer to being the Laylatul Qadr is the 27th night. And this is based on the hadith of Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, that he said, وَاللَّهِ لَعَلَمُ أَيُّ لَيْلَةٍ هِيَ لَيْلَةُ الَّتِي عَمَرَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِكِيَامِهَا هِيَ لَيْلَةُ السَّبْعٍ وَعِشْرِينَ رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمْ. That Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he said, I swear by Allah, I know which night is the night in which the Prophet ﷺ commanded us to perform Qiyam in that night. Which night he told us, he ordered us to stand in that night. He said it was the 27th night. And this hadith is reported by Imam Muslim. But we should keep in mind here that there are other Sahaba who definitively stated that Laylatul Qadr came in their lifetime on at least one occasion on a different night other than the 27th. On one occasion it was the 21st. In another case, it was the 25th. And there were other Sahabi who narrated authentic hadith that during their lifetime, Laylatul Qadr came on a night other than the night mentioned by Ubay ibn Ka'b. And this is what we come to somewhat of a closure with. The Shaykh says here, وَلَا تَخْتَصُّ لَيْلَةُ قَدْرِ بِلَيْلَةٍ مُعَيِّنَةٍ فِي جَمِيعِ الْأَعْوَامِ. بل تنتقل فتكون في عام ليلة 27 مثلا وفي عام آخر ليلة 25 تبعا لمشيئة الله وحكمته. That Laylatul Qadr is not particular to one specific night in all years. Rather, it travels. Yani it changes from one year to another. So that, for example, in one year it might be on the 27th night, and in another year it may be on the 25th night, and all of this is subject to the will of Allah and His wisdom. Yani, whatever Allah wants it to be. Yani, it's not required. Allah is not compelled to make Laylatul Qadr be in one night in the same night every year. Rather, according to His will, and according to His wisdom, He may make it go from one night to a different night, from one year to the next. وَيُدُلُّ عَلَى ذَلِكَ قَوْلُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. What indicates this, and what proves this point, is the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, إِلْتَمِسُوهَا فِي تَاسِعَةٍ تَبْقَى فِي سَابِعَةٍ تَبْقَى فِي خَامِسَةٍ تَبْقَى رواه البخاري. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, that it will be in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. In this narration, he said, seek it when there are 9 nights remaining. Seek it when there are 7 nights remaining. Seek it when there are 5 nights remaining. Meaning that it may come when there are 9 nights remaining in the month of Ramadan. How many nights are remaining right now? Huh? How many nights are remaining right now? 9 or 10 maybe? Or 10, right? Today's 21st night, it could be 22nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th. It could be a 30th night, right? If Ramadan has 30 days, it'll be a 30th night, before the 30th day, right? So it could be 10, it could be 9. So he said, seek it when there are 9 nights remaining. Seek it when there are 7 nights remaining. Seek it when there are 5 nights remaining. Problem is, we don't know, are there really 10 nights remaining or 9, right? Because the month might be 29 or might be 30. Right? So if the month is 30 days, if there are 30 days in this month of Ramadan, then there are 10 nights remaining. So tomorrow will be the 9th night remaining. It will be when there are 9 nights remaining. But what if, as it turns out, at the end of the month, there's only 29 days in Ramadan? Huh? If there are only 29, then there's only 9 nights remaining tonight. So it could be 9 nights remaining tonight, could be 9 nights remaining tomorrow. If it's 9 nights remaining tonight, then tonight is the odd night, right? But if it's 9 nights remaining tomorrow, then tomorrow is the even night. So that means the even night could be 9 nights remaining, if this month has 30 days. And the even night could be Laylatul Qadr. Prophet says, seek when there are 9 nights remaining. This might be a little bit difficult, but think about it later on, inshallah. Okay? There may be 10 nights remaining right now tonight, if the month have 30 days. But if it turns out that this month only has 29 days, then as of tonight, there are only 9 nights remaining. So that means tonight could be Laylatul Qadr. Seek it when there are 9 nights remaining. But if this month turns out to have 30 days, then seeking it when 9 nights remaining will be tomorrow night, 9 nights will be remaining, which will be an even night. But it's 9 nights remaining. Anyway, we'll leave it at that. And Fath al-Bari, al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the great scholar of Hadith, in his explanation of Bukhari, he said, أرجح الأقوال أنها في وتر من عشر الأخير وأنها تنتقل إلى آخر كلامه. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he said, that the most correct of the sayings of the scholars, the views, the various opinions of when Laylatul Qadr is that it's in an odd night from the last 10 nights. That's the most strongest of the sayings or views of the scholars based on the evidences, and that it travels, tantaqil, and it travels from one year to another, from one night, from the last 10 nights to another night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is a good point that the Shaykh makes here as we close, the Shaykh says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden the knowledge of this night from His servants. رَحْمَةً بِهِمْ لِيَكْثُرْ عَمَلُهُمْ فِي طَلَبِهَا فِي تِلْكَ الْلَيَالِ الْفَاضِلَةِ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالذِّكْرِ وَالدُّعَاءِ فَيَزْدَادُ قُرْبَةً مِنَ اللَّهِ وَثَوَابًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden the knowledge of exactly when is Laylatul Qadr as a mercy to His servants. As a mercy to His servants. And in order that they will increase their good deeds by seeking that night during all of these virtuous nights. Because if they knew when it was, right, they'll just look for it on that one night. They'll only worship Allah on that night. And the rest of the nights, people will be just sleeping. So by not knowing, some people will try to do more nights. And that means they will do more worship. That means they will get more rewards. This is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we will spend more nights in salat and in remembrance of Allah and in dua. And in this way, people will increase in their nearness to Allah and increase in their reward. And the Shaykh says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also hidden the knowledge of when is Laylatul Qadr from His servants, اختباراً لهم أيضاً ليتبين بذلك من كان جاداً في طلبها حريصاً عليها من من كان كسلان ومتحاوناً. And also He has hidden it as a test for His servants to make clear those who are very serious in seeking Laylatul Qadr, those who are eager to find it from those who are lazy and who are mutahawun, yani who are just taking the matter easy, lightly. For indeed, whoever is eager for a thing, they will seek it out eagerly. وهان عليه التعب. And in this way, by him being eager and seeking it, the tiredness that a person finds would be lightened and lessened for that person in his seeking to find this Laylatul Qadr and seeking to achieve it. Yani the person who is very eager in seeking it, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make easier for them because of their eagerness and inshallah their sincerity. It will reduce and lighten the tiredness that they will find in seeking Laylatul Qadr. And perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make clear to some of His servants some of its signs and indications, and they will see it. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw from its signs of Laylatul Qadr, he saw that he would be prostrating in the morning following Laylatul Qadr in water, yani in mud. So the rain came down on that night, and in the morning when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was praying the morning prayer, he was prostrating in mud. And he saw before Laylatul Qadr that on the morning following Laylatul Qadr he would be prostrating in mud, and it rained that night. And that following morning he prostrated in mud. He knew that the previous night that was finished by now was Laylatul Qadr. And in this way we know that most of the signs, the real signs of Laylatul Qadr, are signs that a person will only know after the fact. Yani a person may know after the fact from certain signs that yes, that was Laylatul Qadr. But that's after the fact, and therefore a person has to strive now, without knowing when is Laylatul Qadr, as much as one is able to do. And the Shaykh closes by saying, Laylatul Qadr, يُفْتَى فِيهَا الْبَابِ وَيُقَرُّبُ فِيهَا الْأَحْبَابِ وَيُسْمَى الْخِطَابِ وَيُرُدُّ الْجَوَابِ وَيُقْتَبْ لِلْعَامِلِينَ فِيهَا عَظِيمَ الْأَجْرِ لَيْلَةُ قَدْرٍ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ فَاجْتَهِدُوا رَحِمَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي طَلْبِهَا فَهَذَا أَوَانُ الطَّلَبِ وَاحْذَرُوا مِنَ الْغَفْلَةِ فَفِي الْغَفْلَةِ عَطَبٌ. And the Shaykh pretty much closes with this by saying, Laylatul Qadr, in it the doors are opened and those who are beloved to Allah are brought near, and the speech of the people is heard, meaning one's dua is heard, and they are answered. And those who are active in worshipping Allah, the عَامِلِينَ, tremendous rewards are written for them. Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 months. Therefore strive. فَاجْتَهِدُوا رَحِمَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي طَلَبِهَا. Strive in seeking it. Strive in seeking it. For this is the time for seeking it. And be warned and cautioned from al-ghafla, heedlessness, unmindfulness. For in it is destruction. Yani heedlessness means that during these days of yani the last 10 nights of Ramadan, in which this Laylatul Qadr is found, a person is in ghafla. Yani they don't realize that these are the nights in which Laylatul Qadr may come. They don't realize that these are special nights, that this is a special month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has offered great reward for the people who worship Him in this time. They are completely unaware of this. They are just walking around like zombies. And we're talking about Muslims, we're not talking about Kafirs. Because the Kafirs, they don't know anyway. We're talking about the Muslims, when these nights are walking around in ghafla. Like we don't even know what this is. We're still watching television. We're still going to the movies. We're still listening to music. We're spending the night entertaining ourselves listening to music. Or playing video games. Adults and children. And we're allowing our children to do so. And some of us, we're grown people doing it. And this is Ramadan. And these are the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And this could be Laylatul Qadr. And you have time to play video games, to watch movies, to listen to music. The Shaykh said, be cautioned, be warned against ghafla. Walking around in ghafla. You don't know what's going on around you. And these are the ending days. Another Shaykh brings some poetry from Ibn Rajab, which yani, I never tried to translate poetry. I don't know how to do it. It's very difficult. I mean, the meaning is there, but it's hard. And then the Shaykh closes with prayer, and we make this supplication that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I mean, that the Shaykh made, you know, may Allah accept this supplication for us, inshallah. Allahumma ij'alna min man sama shahr wa adraka laylatul qadr wa faza bil thawab al jazil al ajr. Allahumma ij'alna min al sabiqina ila al khayrat wal haribina min al munkarat wal aminina fil ghurafat. ما الذين أنعمت عليهم ووقيتهم السيئات. اللهم أعذنا من مضلات الفتن واجنبنا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن. اللهم ارزقنا شكر نعمتك وحسن عبادتك واجعلنا من أهل طاعتك وولايتك، وآتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة، وقنا عذاب النار، واغفر لنا ولوالدينا وللجميع المسلمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. And we close with this, and just say as a reminder to myself first, that indeed some of us will find some tiredness in these days and in these nights, and it's incumbent upon us to resist shaitan and to make every effort to do whatever we can, to make special efforts, do whatever we can to get the benefit from this time, and don't let it get away. And wallahi, not one of us are guaranteed to see Ramadan again. Rather, we're not guaranteed to see the next few nights. But if you reach one night, take advantage of it. And if Allah bless you with the second one, take advantage of it. And if Allah bless you with a third one, take advantage of every one of them, with the hope that inshallah, if a person is able to strive and struggle sincerely for the sake of Allah, with iman and ihtisab, then inshallah they will achieve a great reward. That is beyond our imagination, even though we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ, and we can imagine what that means, but really we don't know what it means. Allah only knows how great is His generosity and His reward. And we hope for it, and we seek it, and we believe that Allah is generous, and if a person is sincere, Allah will grant them reward. بِإِذْنِهِ تَعَالَى سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. If there's any question about what we talked about tonight, نعم.